Courage to Hope with Tony LaGreca is a show supporting the fight for sobriety against substance abuse and changing the stigma that comes along with it. Tony has been helping families, friends, and loved ones discover recovery services as well as coping skills for over 6 years following the death of his own son to opioids. Join Tony and his guests each week as they reveal the courage to hope. Here's your host, Tony LaGreca.
Thank you, Ben. This is Tony LaGreca, and this is the Courage to Hope. And tonight we have two guests on together, and they're going to tell us about their program that they have. Are you in the town of Lawrence? Is that where are you located?
We're located in Lawrence.
Okay. And I'll ask Diane first, and tell us about the project and what it is that you do.
So the Psychological Center actually compiles of three centers. We have the Daybreak Shelter in Lawrence. They help the homeless. We feed a lot of people. And we're actually one of two centers in the state that will accept someone at the door who is, you know, in drug use or alcohol use or any substance. And we don't turn them away. We help them out. We also have the Women's View, which is a program for women that are over, and Megan can correct me if I'm making any mistakes, over 25 years old. So they come into the center, live there, and they go through a process of, cleaning up and getting their lives back in order. The last center is the Pegasus, which is also for women. And it does, they do live there as well. And we've had really, really nice, successful stories lately.
That's good to hear. So, Megan, I'll go to you now. Welcome.
Thank you.
And tell us your individual story, Megan, and that how you got to this, to be involved, and what's your status there, which division you're in.
So I'm the program director at Daybreak Shelter. I've been here for approximately 3 years. I've been in the homeless field since I was about 20. So I won't share my age, but for many years, for many, many years, I've been dedicated to the homeless population. And I just absolutely love what I do. I love being able to see people come in at their rock bottom and be able to flourish as they improve through their lives of us helping them rebuild. And it's just great to see people living healthy lives and being housed. So that's why I do what I do, is just being able to help people every day on living healthy lives.
Okay. Now, do you live there as well, or do you live somewhere else?
So I do joke and say this is my first home. I do not live here, but I am here. I would say about 80 hours a week.
Wow. So were you homeless yourself at one time?
I was not.
Okay. Because you seem to have a feel for the people that are homeless. And Diane, what's your background? What is your story?
So I actually started helping out by request of my sister, Penny Hamill, who is now the president of the board. I would help out at events. And then when I finally got into the centers and helped my sister feed once a month at the Daybreak Shelter, it was a wow factor. You know, I've always done community service. I'm a big person on helping others. And, you know, I just became really passionate. So I'm now a board member, and we help out every time we have a big event or fundraiser or, you know, need something, et cetera.
Okay. Now, when you say, so during day at the Daybreak Center, that's for people who come in during the day, just as it says.
So Daybreak Shelter is a homeless shelter located in Lawrence. We're at 19 Winter Street. We've been in existence since 1971. Our specialty is serving people that have substance misuse disorders, and they're able to seek shelter So it's an overnight shelter, emergency shelter for homeless individuals. But what's unique about us is we allow the homeless to stay in during the day. Most shelters ask the homeless to transition out early in the mornings. And our shelter is 24/7, 7 days a week, where people are able to stay in and access the services that we provide.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they were asking me to go out in Massachusetts, especially for the month of March, it's like rains every other day, you know, so the other shelters just tell these people to go ahead and fend for yourself for today and come back tonight, that kind of thing.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, if they just don't have any people there to monitor them, or why do they send them out? It doesn't seem to make any sense.
I think it's a mix of shortage in staff and funding. We worked extremely hard at the psychological center to increase our funding to be able to accommodate the homeless to be able to stay in. Many years ago, we were like that traditional shelter where people had to line up at a certain time and had to transition out in the morning. And over the past 3 years, we worked closely on developing a plan where we could keep everyone in safely and also have the funding to be able to do that.
Okay, and two couple more questions now. How many people do you have that stay in? What is your numbers like?
So we have 56 beds for homeless individuals. And we have roughly about 25 people that stay in during the day. A lot of our guests work part-time or full-time. We have a job readiness program within Daybreak where we work closely with people to help them seek employment.
Okay. I was going to ask you, where do you get your funding from?
Primarily state and private sponsors.
So twice a year we have big events. We have a really nice event coming up this year. We always do it around the Derby time. It is May 4th, and this year our theme is James Bond. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. And we're holding it at the Haverhill Country Club. So you can buy tickets, you can come. It's a lot of fun. We do a lot of fundraising that evening. There's a bunch of games, raffle prizes, etc. So it's a really, really fun evening. And then we'll have a gala as well later on in the year. So those are our two major fundraisers.
You do that around the Kentucky Derby time. Is that the big part of the thing? You watch the Derby on a big screen TV?
Yes. That's exciting. And we also have inflated horses that people can sponsor. And we have a race down the middle of the dance floor. And it's a really fun event.
That sounds pretty good. And you do that at the Haverhill Country Club, did you say?
This year it's at the Haverhill Country Club, yes.
Okay. And what do tickets cost?
The tickets are $100. And then we have tables of 10. So 9 tickets, there is a discount.
Okay. So you can get the table of 10 for $900.
Exactly.
All right. And how many people do you expect to have at an event like that?
We're hoping 250.
That's a good chunk of change.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you started, Diane, because of your sister's involvement.
Yeah, I was invited to help out with one of the events. You'll always see me at the table where people check in and check out. I'm the woman who handles all the money for the evening, which is a big task. Once you get involved with a society like this, you see the other half of life. I mean, anyone can go through struggles, and in a second, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And seeing what the center does, it's just amazing.
And so I see somebody named Donna who's trying to pop in here. Is she part of the team? Hi, Donna.
Hi, yes. I'm the program director at Pegasus House here in Lawrence.
Okay.
And we're part of the psychological center as well.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about Pegasus House. What is that?
So we are a long-term residential program for females 18 to 25. However, the state has granted us a blanket waiver for girls 16 through 25 now. I have here at the house, we have a 15-bed facility, very structured, a lot of expectations. But our graduates have proven that the program works, and many of our graduates continue to sustain long-term recovery. We help them with identity, with the social security cards, IDs. We do job placements, education. We help them with everything. And then when they transition from us after they graduated, they go into sober living and they have, employment, they have their schooling, everything's in place.
That sounds really good. And how did you get involved?
So I have been working in the field for 11 years. And 5 years ago, I responded to, we were looking for a program director here. So I applied and I was blessed enough to get the position. And I always say, this is where I am. This is where I'm going to be.
Okay. That's what I like. Dedication. That's what it sounds like to me from all three of you. It seems like you're really a part of the deal, So I'm going to throw out this question to all of you. What do you find? I know we have a problem with substance use in everywhere in the country, not just in Massachusetts. But what do you find is the major reason why people become homeless? Is it because of substance use, or is it because of lack of money or lack of job? What do you find? Anybody can answer that.
I think it varies on the individual. Here at Daybreak Shelter, everyone's treated as an individual and we learn everyone's story. So there's very reasons why someone becomes homeless. Someone loses their job and has no income. Some people are immigrants that come to the United States and are trying to establish a new life. There are the people that have the substance abuse background. There's mental health background. Usually those two coincide together, but some people just have primarily mental health issues and are unable to sustain housing or employment. And where Daybreak comes in and tries to break down those barriers to connect people with services so that they're able to be self-sufficient.
Is the mental health program problems, are they treatable mental health problems, or are they beyond the point of being treatable?
They're all treatable, but here in Massachusetts, or probably across the country, you can't force people to take medication. And so what we primarily see at Daybreak Shelter is people that are unmedicated and not interested in taking any sort of medication, or they're in denial around their mental health. And so that affects their ability to be self-sufficient.
Okay. So sorry for the interruption there. I just got a inbound call. So what do you do when they need medicine? Do you have somebody on staff that once they agree to, is there somebody who takes care of the prescriptions and that sort of thing?
Yes, we connect them with, and it's called a visiting nurse. And we work closely with Comfort, I believe it's Comfort Healthcare. Diane, am I right?
Home care.
Home care. Thank you, Donna. we work closely with them, or Middlesex Healthcare, and we work closely with their medical team. So their doctor would put in a referral, and that referral would go to the visiting nurse agency, and a visiting nurse would come in and administer their medication for them each day. Most of the time it's morning and night medication. So the nurse will come in twice a day to give those medications to the individual.
I've heard most of this is for women. Is this men too included, or is this all women?
So at Daybreak, it's men and women. Up at Pegasus, it's a little bit different because it's a residential program where Megan serves the homeless population. So at Pegasus, I'm actually able to section if I feel like the mental health is needs a higher level of care to be assessed. And then, so I will submit a section 12. They are transported to a psychiatric facility. They're assessed there by psychiatrists on the team. And then they return to us on their medications. Here, we actually administer the medications. So, you know, their medications are in, we have med times, they're locked in a locker. Staff, we have medical specialists who's on staff, myself included, and we monitor really closely. We there's a lot of care coordination between psychiatry within the house itself. I do have an in-house therapist, and they all do individual therapy as well as 18 clinical groups per week. So it's pretty intense with that, because mental health, substance abuse, they go hand in hand, because there's substance use there, because there's an underlying. So if you picture an iceberg, our substance use is what we can see. It's above the water. We know it's there, but there's a reason for it. So if you look under the water for miles deep and wide, it 99% of the time there's been significant trauma that they're trying to numb, a mental health diagnosis they're trying to, you know, medicate themselves. So then your substances come into play, and we just have to, you know, it's a long road, but you know, we're able to help in the guidance of it.
You find you have people that just got it addicted from getting a prescription from a dentist or a doctor, and there's no mental health issue except the fact that they had that gene in their body that says, you know, the addiction gene, I call it, you know, that just the drug just takes over the brain and away we go, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you find there's a lot of that happens.
We do. And then what develops is the depression and the anxiety, and then eventually the PTSD, the bipolar, you know, so when we diagnose, when I do a biopsychosocial, I diagnose, obviously, you know, there is a substance use, but there is an underlying, mental health diagnoses, whether that be, and the substances can also create that, because if we think about what it does bring into their lives, it's chaos. So they develop that anxiety or that whatever the diagnosis may be.
And one of you mentioned that could be an immigrant. How many immigrants are part of the program? Is that a big number, little number?
At Daybreak, it's a small number.
And how do the people find you?
It varies. It's word on the street. A lot of agencies or hospitals. We work closely with hospitals and law enforcement. So we're pretty spread out across the city of Lawrence, including almost touching Boston. We've had some people from Boston, Cambridge area, hear about us or learn that there's a homeless shelter in Lawrence, and they transition up in this area.
And does it do you matter? Does it matter whether they're coming from New Hampshire or not?
No.
I know it's the border's pretty close to where you are.
No, we service anyone that shows up at our door.
Okay. And I guess I'll throw out the question again. What have you all learned? What have you learned most about what you do? What have you learned about human beings that you could share? You know, what is that? Why don't we go around the room? Donna, you go first.
That everyone has a story. And as long as they have a hand that can help them up and guide them, everyone has a chance. It's just, they come, you know, we all have a story of a struggle. And it's so important to make the time to be available and to support no matter what, support and always be available. And it doesn't stop at 5 p.m. So if we have, it could be at midnight, and it's just really important to be present. Listening is not many people want to listen, and it's that's what they need.
Yeah. Diane, what have you feel your biggest lesson you've learned?
So I think like what Donna is saying, that every person has, you know, a struggle. Every person has a story. We don't know where they grew up. We don't know how their family structure was, but we can listen to them of how they got here, why, you know, things fell into place that they're now homeless or they're now addicted, etc. And I think it's really just making the person, you know, people want to know that there's someone who cares about them. And I think, you know, when we go to feed at the Daybreak Shelter, when I go with my sister once a month, and or we show up with donations or whatever it is, you know, we greet them with a smile. Everyone is a human being. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter the struggles that you're going through. You're a human being. You were born, you were raised, you know, you cried when you were a baby and you went to school, just like me, you know, and it takes a second for someone to fall off the rails. And who knows why? But as long as there's someone, you know, like these two courageous women, that will sit down and really listen to what they're saying and make them feel that they care. That's what's really important. We have to really listen to all of our younger kids. And you know, I was lucky. I raised five kids and none of them, you know, ever used any drugs at all. You know, once in a while, they come home drunk. Each child came home drunk once with their kids and they regretted my face when they became sober. So it never happened again. So I was lucky, right? But, you know, people don't have families around them and they don't have people that listen to them. And it's just a shame. So, you know, we're always there supporting these two women and the other people in the that help out in the shelters. You know, right now we needed cereal at the Daybreak Shelter or at Women's View. And, you know, we need twin size sheets. We need underwear. So there's little things that always pop up on our Facebook page that people can help out with. And, you know, all of us on the board and all of us around run to get whatever they need.
That's good. Megan, what would you say is what you've learned the most?
That everyone is a good person. Deep down inside, even though some people present or have certain behaviors, that they are still a good person. And here at Daybreak, the staff work so hard and we treat everyone as an individual, and we see people kind of bloom like a flower. You know, they come in very rough and raw and, you know, have that mentality of, well, I'm just going to be treated awful here because I was treated awful at previous shelters or people in the community. I'm being judged. You know, there's that stigma of homeless people. And we treat everyone here with dignity and respect and as a human, like they deserve. And so I would say that even though some people may do bad things, everyone's a good person deep down.
My son, yeah. I have a son who's a psychologist, and you know, everybody goes through rough times. And my son looked at me one time and he said, "Mom, look for the gold. Every person has a spot of gold.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to concentrate on." And that was a lesson, you know, from a teenager at the time that I carried with me for the rest of my life. Look for the gold. Each person that we encounter in the center has that spot of gold. And that's a spot of gold that in the end will save them and bring them out of what they're in.
Yeah, I've been over to Mass and Cass, and I delivered stuff over there, and I just wonder what the stories are between and on everybody. And to my surprise, the few that I have had conversations with, yeah, high school graduates, college graduates, they're from every walk of life, and they all come from a different story, and somehow some of them got addicted and ended up with a needle in their arm, and this was where they could go and do their whatever. But they don't want to stay there. It's not the life they chose. And I know if you looked in everybody's year, everybody writes in their yearbook what you want to do when you graduate. And I'm sure none of them say, "I want to live at Mass and Cass." You know, that's an obvious thing, you know. So does anybody that have been a graduate of any one of the programs come back and work there?
Yeah, I have, and Donna as well. I have a staff who his story is substance misuse. He got he worked on his recovery at the shelter, stayed in recovery, and he is now one of my best employees. So he has a great story to tell, and he shares it every once in a while with individuals here that reside here, to share hope and faith that, you know, you can do it. Look at me.
Yes. So is like Donna, do you live at a different place, and do you have a home, and are you able to do that? I guess I'll ask all three of you. Are you all able to live, have your own house and have your own life outside of this thing that what you do every day?
So I'm not going to lie. I'm here more than home, but this is my home. I can't imagine being anywhere else. It's a passion. It runs deep. So yes, I do have a home. And I have 25-year-old twins and a 19-year-old. So they don't want me at home. So I'm here.
Okay.
I do the holidays here. We're planning. Because a lot of our residents, they've never even received an Easter basket before. So wow. To see on Easter morning an Easter basket that, didn't take much to make up and have them sit and cry because they never received one. It's a very humbling, position. I can't imagine being anywhere else.
That's great. And Megan, you the same with you?
Yeah, I'm here more than I am at home. I even I have a 6-year-old son, and he comes and he absolutely adores everyone here. He helps me outreach while we're driving. He's very receptive. He comes and he serves dinner, and we're very family oriented across the whole agency. We love what we do.
Well, yeah, he'll definitely be ready for the world by the time he's an adult. Meeting all the different people and serving meals, and I'm sure that makes him feel pretty good too, that he can be part of helping out.
Yeah, I can all only right. pray, Tony.
Huh?
I can only pray.
Yes, that's what we all can do, and hope it works out, you know. And Donna, Diane, you live somewhere else, or?
Yes, I
know. You raise five kids. I mean, I know.
Do what these two women do. I work with the board. We do all the fundraising, going out into the community and trying to get people to donate for the events, et cetera, social media, all that. By trade, I'm a realtor, so I have a really busy schedule, but, doing and helping others is so important in life. And I fully enjoy giving up my realtor job during the day if Karina calls and says she needs something.
That's very nice. Okay. But you have to make money somewhere, to keep yourself going.
Yeah, so. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Okay. When I see a homeless person on the street, usually they're pushing a grocery cart full of stuff, when they come to the shelter, what do they do with that cart? What do you guys do with the so-called belongings of a homeless person?
So at Daybreak, they're able to have, we call it a bin. So if you can picture a storage bin.
Like a Tupperware bin kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. They're given a bin and they're able to have a bag. So they are able to have a few of their personal items. When it comes to the carts, or maybe some people refer, the can man, they are able to have that on property, because we view it as that's their job. They're out there trying to make money and that's what they're good at, maybe. And so we don't take that away from them.
Okay. And what about their clothes, their clothing and everything? Is what they have with them, is that it? Or do they have a storage place somewhere where they keep their stuff? And how does that work?
Some people have storage places because maybe they lost their apartment due to losing their job, or maybe we had a few incidents of, people lost their SSI or SSDI check and they lost their apartment because they weren't able to reinstate it for some reason. And so some people do have their own private storage, but a lot of people come in with nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean like the clothes on their backs, or we've had people shown up with no shoes on their feet. And these are the same people that have no family as well. A lot of the individuals that reside here don't communicate with family. So it's like a family. We form this family unity here, including with the staff. We do bingo night and movie night and paint night, and we just try to get people to engage with us so we can kind of push them towards that case management or treatment side of services that we provide.
Okay. So bingo night, huh?
Yeah. The one thing we always do, like Donna was saying, some people never got an Easter basket. We've had multiple people at the shelter not ever celebrate a birthday. And we're really big on celebrating birthdays here. So every single person gets a cake on their birthday with a balloon, and we celebrate their birthday. So we're always looking for birthday cakes.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's good. And singing happy birthday to them and everything, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that some people never had anybody sing happy birthday to them. That's a huge thing, I would say, if they went to an elementary school, usually the elementary teacher recognizes their birthday. And I know my wife is a first grade teacher, and they always sang happy birthday. She made sure that every one of them, she knew their birthdays and they were on the calendar. And for the kids that had a birthday in July and August, they would actually sing it in June, or and if the teacher before didn't do it, then they'd sing it in September.
Yeah.
Try to keep them aware. So
I've had an individual say, you know, it's just my birthday. You know, it's not important. It's just another day. And I said, not to me. It's your day. It's a day that you were blessed to be here. So it's important to us. And it makes them smile.
Yes, that's really, really good. I was thinking about Easter baskets. I was bummed out when my parents decided that I was too old to have an Easter basket. You know, I said, well, you're talking about, I want that chocolate egg.
Yeah. You know?
I don't care if I'm 12 or whether I'm, you know, 35, you know, I want my chocolate egg, you know. So that's a very important item. I was going to say, what holidays come after Easter? You have to wait till July 4th or something. Maybe you have a barbecue and do something like that.
Yeah, we celebrate every single holiday here at Daybreak, and Donna can share what she does.
So we actually have a calendar, and there's a holiday. It's every day of the year. It's like Penguin Day or Lollipop Ice Cream Day, whatever it may be. So they would pick all of them, but they can pick two a month if there is no holiday in that month. Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. And I mean, I'd be interested in Hostess Cupcake Day.
Yes.
I want the chocolate one with the cream inside, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I used to look forward to those things, you know? Now I have to worry about my weight. I can't be thinking about that, you know? But that's what happens when you get older. So what would be the most important thing that you would like to leave with the listening audience so that they, and donations, I assume, are very important. I know that you have somebody working there or associated with you, Marshall.
And, yeah.
What division is he with?
Yeah, so Marshall is part of our street outreach team, and our street outreach team is brand new. It's a street outreach team that exists here at the shelter, and we have a team of four. They go out in the streets of the city of Lawrence. We're trying to drift over to the city of Haverhill, but right now we go out in the streets and meet people where they're at in the community. Some people would like to seek shelter. Others, they're content on, you know, living in a tent or wherever they rest their head. And we provide basic needs to those individuals, but we also provide case management. So everything we provide in the shelter, we provide out on the streets in the city of Lawrence. And we're able to help people get IDs, birth certificates, employment, housing, mental health, medical treatment. We have a nurse that travels with us. We have Casa Esperanza, who has detox and CSS beds for those that want to seek treatment that are on the streets. So our team does a lot of work. Marshall works day in and day out on trying to break down barriers for people that are unsheltered and just do whatever we can to help individuals get their lives back together.
I know I donated about 20 or 30 pairs of white socks gave to Marshall for the street people. And I was amazed that he was so needed them so badly, you know? And so right now, I'm sure there's people listening that have surplus things in their house, clothing especially, that you know, you go down the street and you put it inside one of those clothing bins or somebody that collects the clothing. But how much of that actually gets to you folks? Is that, you know, it seems like there's all these different organizations collecting clothes. How do we know to get clothes to you?
We're always in need of clothes, shoes, jackets, when it comes to wintertime, hats and gloves. During the summer, we can always, you know, take in food, water, juice, whatever. Whenever someone's willing to donate, we're probably always in need of food. We're always in need of hygiene stuff.
So on the, you know, I can dig down deep with the board of the cost of running these three centers. Our grocery bill alone is over $400 weekly. You know, people can go to the Facebook page. It's a psychological center, Daybreak and Pegasus. They can find it on Facebook, and we're always posting of different things that we need. You know, you have a vast amount of almost 100 people, and anything you would use during the day, these people need as well. And, you know, if you'd like to have a blast, come to the event on May 4th. You can go also to the Facebook page or to the website and buy tickets there, or, you know, call the center and find out the information. One of the things that, you know, like I said, when the women leave the centers, you know, they get their sheets, right? So they constantly need sets of twin sheets. That's one thing that I've heard from the board. Also, underwear and personal items like that are constantly needed. But like I said, on our Facebook page, there's constant, you know, the other day they said they needed cereal. So there's a drive for cereal. So you can go to the Facebook page, and always constantly we're posting to see what we need, and, you know, donations of anything, and money to run everything.
Okay. I happen to be in some type of business where we have sheets. So I was going to ask you that you say twin sheets, you mean for a twin size bed?
Yeah. We're always in need of linens and towels too.
Okay. So if anybody's listening out there, what's the name of the website?
Thepsychologicalcenter.com.
Psychologicalcenter.com. Okay. And
they're more than welcome to come to any of the programs, but Daybreak's located at 19 Winter Street in Lawrence. And we're more than happy to welcome them to drop off donations as well, and maybe even get a tour if they would like it.
Okay, well, I'm going to, for anybody who's, a lot of people who are listening are probably driving in their car right now, so they don't have a pad of paper and a pen. So we'll make this available on our web, on the WMEX website.
When they follow the GPS to the Daybreak shelter, it always brings them to Winter Street, but you can't see the Daybreak shelter from the street. You have to go in the driveway. So people will always call and say, I'm lost. Where is it? So that's one point to remember. Can call the center. They can call the center, and someone will direct them exactly where it is.
All right. Okay. If they want to donate money, what do we do there?
They can donate through the website.
They can.
It's there, or call the center, the psychological center, that's located on Union Street, and you'd be directed where they can donate.
And people, we always accept checks as well. So I know some people still write out checks. Checks can always be mailed to either 11 Union Street or whichever program someone prefers to donate to.
Okay. And, well, again, and we also have
Venmo too.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good old Venmo.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. It's a good thing, but I always get given a percentage to, you know, Elon Musk always bugs me, you know. So, you know, he gets 0.5% of everything that goes through Venmo or PayPal. So that's how he gets all his money. That's a story for something for another time. I'm not a big fan of people that have more money than they can ever spend. I think all of this homelessness stuff could go away real quick if the right people would just donate some of their billions of dollars, you know, and put it all on the right track, you know. But and then, you know, the government takes in all the taxes too, and at least they're giving out grants. But I don't believe that, and if somebody doesn't want to be homeless, they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I think there should be some way, somehow, that the money should be put into that first, you know, before we build a tank that we're never going to use for some war that's never going to happen, you know. So yeah, you can feed a lot of people, you know, with one tank. Could feed Pegasus for a year, you know, or longer. So, Donna, you agree with me, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I can tell by the look in your face there. You've had this discussion with somebody else already.
So, yes, I have.
Yeah, so we get a few guys that own Amazon could step up to the plate, you know. Elon Musk and I forget the name of the guy that owns Facebook. It's another one.
Zuckerberg. So,
Zuckerberg, yeah. He doesn't even have a good hairstylist. So, yes, that's right. So, well, I really appreciate what you guys do and everybody that's affiliated with it. And you guys, you're actually the winner as far as I'm concerned, because what you do is so gratifying that the people who spend all their time watching TV or not doing anything productive, they don't understand the gratification that you're getting by helping others. And I think that's, you know, when I was say, when we get to heaven, you guys will go straight in. You don't have to worry about sending your resume. You're just going to be a straight in candidate, you know. So
we're humbled every day by what we encounter. We're humbled every day by the donations that we receive and the support from the community. And like I said, you know, in a blink of an eye, anyone could, you know, anything could happen to anyone. And, you know, we're just grateful for the support that we get and grateful for women like these two women here.
Yeah, willing to put out your time and everything. And Megan, what is your six-year-old son's name?
His name's Kingsley.
Kingsley, like Ben, yeah. Kingsley?
Yes.
Yeah. That's okay. Why did you decide that name?
His father is a Kingsley, and I love the name. It sounds very strong to me, and I chose to keep it.
Okay. All right. And is there anything I've missed that you guys want to talk about that I haven't mentioned or that you haven't? That I haven't asked you?
I think I would just like to add, not everyone is homeless because they want to be homeless, like you were saying earlier. The stigma of everyone's an addict or and that's why they're homeless, it really needs to diminish. It's not, like Donna was saying earlier, everyone has a story. Even though some people have chose not to live a healthy life, others have, but it doesn't mean that they're homeless because they're lazy, because they don't want to work, because they're addicts. That stigma really needs to go away. And, everyone should be looked at as a human and a story, and any one of us can become homeless and lose anything, everything we have, you know, today or tomorrow. And it's not easy to rebuild your life. It sounds like it, but it's not, especially when you have no support. So I would like to just say I have amazing staff at Daybreak and I have to give them a shout out. And a shout out to everyone that resides here at Daybreak. Everyone's just amazing and working hard and dedicated towards their recovery. And I can only pray every night for those that are still suffering from substance misuse and hope that they wake up, you know, soon to live a healthy life and know that we're here to support them.
That sounds really good. Donna, you want to finish with something or the closing statement?
Well, if I don't shout out my staff, then I'm going to hear about it. So shout out to Pegasus staff. And we also have another program, Women's View, and that's 26 and up. So shout out to Women's View. It's a carbon copy of Pegasus House. But all three programs are just helping change lives. And we could not do it without the support from the outside. We just could not do what we do every day. So I really do appreciate that. I know the programs do and our residents and guests do as well. So thank you. And like Diane was saying, the Derby's coming up. So the great fundraiser.
I can bet it is. My family's been in the racehorse business for 60 years. So it's a big deal on race day one of our houses. My brother, you know, we have probably 50 people show up and just gathering for race day I went there once. A friend of mine actually won the tickets to go to. You say you win the lottery to go, but you need to understand when you win the lottery, you have to put up $1,600 to buy the tickets. You uh-huh. just win the lottery to get the right to buy them. You don't get them for free, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're also asking people like you who can't come to our event because they have a big party at home or whatever to donate possible gift cards or raffle baskets that we can raffle off. A lot of my friends who can't come to the event, will give me some gift cards to a restaurant or to Market Basket or whatever. And we have, a bunch of games and stuff that we use those with.
Do you raffle off items?
Yes. We always have about 25 to 30 raffle baskets. And then sometimes we have silent auction as well, depending on what we get donated.
Okay. So, I'm in the vacuum business is my other business. So we manufacture vacuums and, could you auction off vacuums?
Why not? That would be fantastic.
I'll go for it.
Okay.
We are always looking for something different.
When we're off the air here, I'd like to know, because that's the other thing. If you need a vacuum for any of the buildings, I would like to donate the vacuum cleaners to the buildings.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Yes.
Yeah, I can send one to each location or whatever you'd like,
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Well, this has been a great conversation today, and this is people doing real work, real good work, real gratifying work. I'm very impressed with all three of you and the two of you there, Donna and Megan, what your whole, basically your life dedication now, you're both terrific human beings, all three of you are, but I'm just saying that extra that you guys put in there is very appreciated. And the town of Lawrence is very lucky to have all these opportunities and all these places that people can go. It's not every city or every town has done this,
On that point, we recently bought a pickup truck, so the we're hoping to expand into the other towns around us, and like Megan said, whoever knocks on the door, even if they're not from Lawrence, they're welcome into the center. So we're not Our centers are in Lawrence, but we do help all around the Merrimack Valley.
Well, okay. That's good. I forget what I was saying there, but that's okay. Again, I appreciate all three of you, and I want to thank you for taking the time today to spend with me.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Tony LaGreca, and this is The Courage to Hope. And we've got three women we've just talked with who are definitely providing hope and have courage to step up and walk the walk. Thank you very much. Until next time.